greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club. The most exclusive club for men in the country, where every Saturday we're going to talk about taking an animal, throwing it on some scorching fire, and turning it into the most tantalizing, tasty morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman. But we don't drag our women into the caves by the hair. We're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure women into your cave and keep her hair looking good. We don't use clubs. We use Smith & Wesson, Bowtech, and Abu Garcia. When you want to find the center of the grilling universe, you look at a map of North America and just look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys. Peace, love, and barbecue.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Kind of tax day was done yesterday, but we got a little extension. Uncle Sam decided that he wanted just another day to get in our pocket, so we're going to the 18th. So it's the weekend. It's between taxing times, and you know what? It's all about beef because it's what's for dinner, man. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What is cooking, baby?
It is all beef this week, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It is going to be so good to talk about beef because it's probably my favorite protein.
It definitely is mine, and I'll break down the brisket I made this week a little bit later. But
it's probably breaking down right now,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Parts of it are. Exactly.
You know, I thought to properly have a nice cut of beef, really a good red wine is the appropriate. I mean, you can't think of anything too much better than a nice glass of red with a beef, right?
That's exactly right. Now joining us on the Grilling Line right out of the box is Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley Winery. Brian, you out there?
Sure thing.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice, man.
Nice to talk to you both.
Yeah, so we want to talk a little bit about pairing wine with beef. We've got a few cuts that we're going to be breaking down with tri-tips, flat irons, the strip tees. Those are New York strips or T-bones. But we just wondered what your thought was, being a vintner, and you could impart on our listeners how to pair a wine with a great piece of beef.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think there's always been the sort of classic, you know, red wine with beef, white wine with chicken or fish. And I think to some extent there's some truth in that, but we also often talk to customers about pairing the flavors as well. So a, you know, piece of chicken or fish that was strongly flavored might also work really well with a red wine. But since you're talking about beef, you know, specifically, I think generally speaking, beef tends to pair better with a red wine. But there too, if it's lightly seasoned, maybe go with something a little lighter, like a Pinot Noir or a Merlot. And if it's heavier seasoning, a little more pepper, spiciness, anything in that category, maybe jump up into something that has a little bit more spice and flavor going on, such as a Cabernet Sauvignon or a Meritage, which is a Bordeaux style blend. You know, you really just want to make sure that you're not overpowering either. So the wine isn't more powerful than the food and vice versa, that they kind of come in at a relatively the same intensity level.
So, Brian, welcome to the show, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us about the effect of tannins in terms of your palate and what it does to helping you taste the flavors of the meat, cutting fats and things like that.
Right on. Yeah, so tannin is a substance that's sort of part of the grape, specifically part of the skins, which is why red wine has tannin and white wine doesn't, because red wine spends time with the skins during the winemaking process to extract color and flavor. The tannins work generally by adding a sense of umami or mouthfeel, as well as an astringency or a mouth drying kind of agent. And those can be quite handy when you're dealing with red meat, especially a fattier cut, as the tannin and that astringency will actually help to revive your taste buds or cleanse your palate between bites, making that, you know, last bite of steak taste just as fresh on your palate as the first. So they can be pretty useful. They also add body and complexity, which again brings up the intensity of the wine and allows it to stand up to some of those heartier cuts of meat that you might flavor season with a bit more flavor. So the tannins help to allow that wine to not get overpowered by the food.
You called that a tsunami?
Yeah, I know.
No, I heard umami is stringent. And I said, crap, I grew up with one of those. So I don't know what we heard.
That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, well, I really just got back from California, so I was on a red wine tour. And just really kind of, I guess, I'm still in a bit of an awakening on wine. I don't know enough about it, and it's such a fun study.
Yeah, and, you know, every region is so different. That's what makes it fun, too. The wines that you're going to drink in California or Oregon or Washington State or here in New York, they're all over the place. They reflect the local climate, the microclimates, heck, even the grapes grown in different regions in Southwest Michigan bring little different flavors and nuances to the equation. So, you know, as much as we live and breathe wine every day here, put me in a different part of the country and I'm learning right alongside you guys.
So, Brian, tell us a little bit about the top two or three red wines that come out of your vineyards and out of your shop.
Sure. I mean, if we're talking about what I'd grab with the nice cut of meat that you're referring to earlier, that Meritage, I mentioned Meritage, that's a style of wine. So other wineries could certainly make one. It's a combination of Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. So you get some of that bold, rich, spicy flavor from the Cabernets, which are really pretty strongly flavored grapes. And the Merlot comes in and lays a nice fruity kind of baseline to give the wine a really nice, complex mouthfeel and aromatic, which make it really nice with some of those bigger foods. We also do a really nice job in Southwest Michigan with Merlot on its own. So you get a little bit lighter wine. So if you're doing a little bit less on the seasoning, maybe really having the meat be the showcase, you know, a nice Merlot should be a good pairing as well. And in our climate where it's a little cooler, you are going to get wines that are generally a little more acidic, generally pair really nicely with foods because of that fruitiness and that acidity and the slightly lower alcohol that they bring to the table. So those are just a couple of options. But as we tell people in the tasting room, drink what you like. There's no rules. If you want to drink a dry white wine with a steak, go for it. We're just happy that you're happy.
And buying wine.
Exactly. There you go.
If you just tuned in, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking to Brian Lesperance from Fenn Valley Winery in Fennville, Michigan. Just a wonderful place that we love to go to, and we certainly love drinking your wine. I can't say enough good things and encourage people to visit your beautiful estate because it's an experience. It's vast. Your selection is vast, and you folks are so gracious when people come. Can't say enough good things about Fenn Valley. But, Brian, thanks so much for taking a little time out of your busy day, your morning, and I'll let you get back to work.
All right, my pleasure. We really appreciate it. Talk soon.
All right, bye.
Man, that guy was making my mouth water when he was talking about all those characteristics of that red wine. That was like, ooh, man, I just, you're right, Bob. There's nothing that goes better with a steak than a red wine, in my opinion.
I know. I heard tsunami, and I'm thinking, what the Fukushima?
Yeah, exactly. All of that, and then some. But, hey, I want to break down, you were a world traveler in the last week.
Yeah.
And I wanted to break down this spring break trip. I don't know if we got enough time right now, but on the other hand, what was the best thing you ate? We'll go there, because you were all over the West, man.
I think the pork belly tacos.
Really?
Yeah, I went to a place down in, I think we're in Santa Barbara. It's I can't think of the name of the brewery now. They've got six different tasting rooms, tap rooms, and it was just a phenomenal blend of pork belly, cabbage, and some pico de gallo. Fantastic. But we'll talk about that trip a little bit as the morning goes on. Ran into a lot of really cool things. California is so much fun. I can't tell you how great it was.
A lot of fresh food out there.
And, oh, man. The weather was perfect.
Yeah, awesome. Coming up next, we might tip your try or we might flat your iron. We're not really sure, but we're going to talk about a little beef. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Yeah. Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Hey, Jop, I'd high-five you on that last play, but I can't. My plate's full, and I got my beer in the other hand.
Hey, Bob, you need the Super Tailgate Plate. It holds a bottle, a can, or a glass, plus all the fixings in one hand. Whether you're tailgating, partying, or at home sitting around the campfire, you got a hand free for anything you need to do.
Wow, Jop, where do I get mine?
You know what? At thegrillingguys.com, we've got them. Just click on that Super Tailgate link, and they're available in 12 and 4-packs.
Now that's a game winner, baby.
You bet.
This is Jop from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you didn't catch that first segment, Brian Lesperin from Fen Valley Winery, that guy knows his grapes, man. And matching up a little bit of red wine with beef is a fun thing to do. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the beef now that we got the wine out the way. But, you know, when we walk up and down the meat counter, there's a lot of different cuts out there. And there's pros and cons to each one of them. I think one of the things that you can judge a cut on is by the cost. Not always does that make it better, but it often becomes part of your decision-making process. So we'll try to talk a little bit about that as we move through this as well. But this segment, Bob, we were going to do tri-tips and flat irons.
You know what I discovered when I was in California? That is a huge cut of meat out there.
Which one?
Tri-tip. Okay. It's like tri-tips out there are like maybe a ribeye out here that's just a huge. First of all, one of the misnomers is that, you know, barbecue isn't big in a lot of places like California. Barbecue is huge in California. I saw more barbecue restaurants there than I would have ever imagined. I mean, they were like everywhere. And I don't know if that's a recent occurrence or what, but I do know that those people out there are grilling freaks. Everybody grills. Most of them grill 4 or 5 nights a week, I guess because they can.
Right. I would. Yeah. I mean, if it's nice out 340 days a year, yeah. Why wouldn't you be out in your backyard cooking? Absolutely.
Perfect place to make the mess, right?
Yeah.
The wife likes it. You have to do the cooking.
Yeah. And she doesn't clean up a mess.
But tri-tips are a big deal out there, and there's lots of different ways you can do a tri-tip. If you have a smoker, you're probably apt to smoke it, just because it's got some fat in it, but it's the marbled fat in the meat. It's not
on the surface like maybe a
brisket
would be.
It's not on the side. It's not, you know, it's not globs of fat or a fatty coating. It's in the grain, so I think if the particular animal was fattened properly over a long period of time, it's going to have a nice level, moderate level in it, but it'll never have too much. So you have to be really careful when you're cooking a tri-tip.
And you're careful because what? Two things. One, it'll cook quicker and it'll dry out.
Well, I don't know that it'll cook quicker, I worry about it drying out. You can't apply massive heat. It's not the type of meat you're going to want to sear. You could sear a little bit if you're grilling it, but you're going to want to go pretty quickly to indirect cooking. And, you know, I've been studying this stuff for a long time, but I'm still learning so much. It's amazing what you form an opinion or you pick up somebody's advice and you just run with it over time, even if it's wrong. You just think you're right because that's what you're doing. But I'm coming to understand that the searing does not really cauterize the tissue to the effect that I've always believed it did. What I'm learning is that the searing actually is more for flavor than for sealing. And you got to be careful when applying too much high heat to a piece of meat. You want to brown it to somewhat seal it, but you want to slow cook it to a certain extent, especially a tri-tip, because you'll overcook the outside trying to cook the inside, if that makes sense.
And that's because it's a thick steak. It's a you've heard of ball tip sizzlers,
but it's because
it's in that same area.
It's because it's a lean piece. There's not a lot of moisture in it. So what you'll do is you'll make the outside dry. You know, in my opinion, it's more the leanness of it that you're going to screw up. More so than but the thickness certainly comes into play. That has to do with how long you have to do it. But the problem with the high heat on the outside is that stuff will dry up so quickly, it doesn't matter how you slow it down to get the middle cooked. You've already ruined the outside, I guess, is my takeaway on that.
Okay. All right.
And I've done it.
Sure.
To tri-tips.
So let's pivot to the flat iron. Because now a flat iron, does that mean that's a flat, thin steak?
That's a beautiful pivot, by the way.
Thanks, man. Thanks. That's a radio term.
Oh, flat iron's a great. That's a, what a way to pivot. I don't know how they ever came up with that name. We should have a butcher on here to explain that. But it is a.
Do we know one?
It's a different cut of meat. That's for sure. Depending on the butcher you go to, your flat iron could be cut in many different ways, and they may or may not leave that collagen on there. And the first time I had it, the collagen was on it. And if it's got the collagen, which is a fatty, weird, gelatinous structure that surrounds that flat iron, if it's on there, you need to score that steak in a diamond shape about an eighth of an inch thick, 1 inch wide pieces, because when you grill that, it's going to blow up like a puffer fish.
Right. Right.
And if you don't score it, it'll be a giant meatball. It will literally look like a puffer fish.
When that collagen is on there.
Yeah.
If it's not on there, then it tends to not do that.
You're just grilling a steak.
Right.
It's extremely lean.
Right.
But a beautiful chuck flavor in it. It comes from the chuck front end of the animal. So it's got that awesome chuck. I mean, you
real hearty beef flavor.
You make them.
Right. Exactly.
Describe it.
Well, it's savory. It's probably one of the most savory flavors of meat on the animal. And then when you get it done, I mean, a lot of people, a flat iron, you'll think of like fajita steaks, right, where you're going to cut that thing on the bias. And what that means is you're, rather than cutting it straight down at a 90-degree angle, roll your knife over at a 45 and cut across the meat and across the grain.
So you're saying it reminds you of a skirt steak.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just so much smaller, though, but it is very lean. If you cut all the collagen off there, no matter what, you're going to have a little tougher piece of meat.
Right.
Whether the collagen's on it or not. If it's properly trimmed, it's going to be very thin, very small, but you're right, it's still going to be a little tougher.
And you can add a little moisture to those. You know, we're big fans of extra virgin olive oil. You'll hear us refer to that as EVO from time to time. Our friends at the Old World Olive Company, if you've never been to their store, you really, and you enjoy cooking, you really need to go because they have a huge variety of EVOs that are infused with flavors.
Right. And they've got like 8 of them around the state, so you should be able to find one.
Yeah, Old World Olive Company. But
so tri-tips, back to the tri-tip just briefly. If you don't have a smoker and you're going to cook it on your grill, what you need to do is I would bring it out and set it on a cutting board, and I would absolutely bury it in sea salt, coarse ground sea salt. I would coat the heck out of it and let it sit on the counter for about 2 hours.
Right.
And then rinse it off, put whatever – I'd probably put some oil on it that time, then put whatever peppers or aromatics on you're going to do, and then give it a light sear and put it over to the indirect side and bring it up to an internal in the thickest part of no more than 135, the thickest part.
Right. That's going to – and the reason that is that's your medium rare, that thickest part. The thinner parts are going to cook a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about that salting game. Are you going to bury your steak in salt or just lightly salt it? And we're going to give you a few tips on that, as well as we might do a little strip tease. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Jim Crank, and I would like to personally invite you to visit Cranker's Restaurant and Brewery. With 3 locations in Grand Rapids, Mount Pleasant, and Big Rapids, Cranker's brews award-winning beers and has one of the finest menus in the Great Lakes. From our barbecue brisket to our junkyard omelets, Cranker's is the ultimate microbrewery experience. I believe if you eat good, you feel good. Visit crankersbrewery.com. That's crankersbrewery.com. Eat good, feel good. Cranker's. Yeah!
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com. Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's all about the beef, and it's what for dinner. And we are, first couple segments, we've got behind us, and now we're going to be talking a little bit about the salting game, and that is seasonings for your piece of beef, and might run into another couple cuts. But when it comes to seasoning a piece of beef, there's a lot of differing opinions on it. I will share mine with you. Bob might contradict this and say, no, it's not what he likes to do. But the beauty of this is that
it's probably going to happen.
If you find something you like, stick with it.
That's right. If it's working for you, do not screw with it.
Right. So from a seasoning standpoint, we'll get into favorite cuts later. But let's say that I'm doing a steak with a bone in it, whether it be a bone-in ribeye or whether it be one of the T-bones or porterhouses. But my steak's got a bone in it because I like to share it with Gibby when I'm done. You know, I eat the steak, and then there's a little bit for the dog, and I watch him enjoy it, and I get to enjoy the same steak twice. But when I get a steak out and I season it, I've got a concoction that I make, and I put it in a shaker, and I've taken a Sharpie and write steak on top of the jar, and that's all I ever use it for. And it's in it just any size seasoning jar you got, but I go 50% of kosher salt, okay? Not cracked sea salt, but kosher salt, because it's a little bit flatter, and I feel it like settles down onto the steak. And then I put in the balance of that would be about 25% of black and white pepper mix, and then I'll do 25% garlic powder. Now, it's a simple little thing, salt, black and white pepper, and garlic powder, but I mix it all up so it comes out evenly out of my shaker. I'll pull that steak out, and I'll season that. Now, this is where it differs between Bob and I. Bob likes to season steaks right before they go on the grill. Me, I like to set them on the counter with the seasoning, that seasoning on it anyway. I like to leave them set there for an hour or two and come up to room temperature. I feel that that seasoning gets drawn into the meat a little bit. And then when I cook it, it doesn't come off as much. What I mean is if I'm flipping it on the grill and the grill grates hit it, it's kind of seated in there. But that's just how I like to do it. And it's worked for me. Pretty much anybody that ever comes over and has a steak at my place, that's the way it gets prepared for them. Other than the doneness, that's the way I season a steak. So, Bob, what about you, man?
Well, actually, I've tried it both ways. Lately, I've been, like a few weeks ago, I was saying that I've been reading that you should do it right when you do it or to
you
let
you
it.
You mean season it right when you cook it.
Or
right.
To do it for an hour prior. My message was don't salt it and let it sit there for 5 minutes. You can salt it right off the bat and do it if your meat's cold. But what I've been playing with lately after researching a bunch, and I've been doing this the last maybe 3 weeks. Last night, it worked out perfectly. I had some sirloin. I took coarse sea salt, and I mean, I buried these things. They were thick, beautiful pieces of sirloin. And I let them set out for about an hour and a half. As a matter of fact, the smaller cuts were starting to cook. They were turning a weird color. And then I rinsed them off. And here's the key from what I've discovered is you have to rinse all that salt off before you grill it. Because what happens, you pour that salt on there, and what salt wants to do is it wants to draw the water out of anything you put in it. But if it sits there long enough, that water and salt mix together, and then that salty water goes back into the steak. Osmosis brings that back in. But you still have a lot of slime and substance on the top of the steak. You want to take that off. On the bottom of the steak, when you're salting it and setting it like that, you should actually put some paper towels under it because it'll draw that slime off of it, and you'll have a little truer flavor. But what I did with these is I just let that salt sit for about an hour, hour and a half, and then I rinsed them nicely, patted them dry, put some Tuscany EVO on them, and then I put this cracked pepper blend that I like to use. I didn't put any more salt on them, just a pepper blend, and I threw them on the grill. My mouth's watering now as I remember how good they were. Here's the key, though. When you do this, the resting in this method, the resting is super important, and it's important with any steak. But if you've done all this to flavorize your meat, you've got all sorts of juice still in that meat. If you cut into it, you're going to drain it. You're going to have a bloody mess on your plate. You're going to still get moisture coming out of the steak, even if you rest it. It's going to dump.
When you say rest, you're taking this thing off the grill, and what you're really saying is don't serve it right away.
Give it 10 minutes at least.
Right, and put them on a platter if you're cooking for a bunch of people. Have them eat their salads, and then bring the steaks to the table.
Because that fluid has to then start cooling down inside that steak, and the osmosis has to reverse, and it has to go back to wherever it came from in that body, in that muscle. So it's as it cools down, it'll migrate again. And hopefully, and generally, towards the center of that cut where it came from, because you're driving, as it cooks, you're driving a lot of the moisture to the surface, and you just want it to recirculate and go back into all areas of the meat.
Right.
And if you cut into it, you're creating a big drain for it. Speaking of big drain, I'm a big drain right now for this hop knocker. It's tasting pretty good.
Schmoes can make some hop knocker.
That there is some good beer.
Yes, it is. I wanted to touch on one other thing you mentioned. Is you took the steak out early and buried it in this salt, and you left it there for an hour. That wasn't in the refrigerator, was it?
No, it's on the counter. I'm bringing it to room temperature. But
why is that important? I think that's a point that we need to make sure everybody understands.
Well, it helps even cooking, right?
Right. And what he means by that, in my world, is that if you've got a steak that everything thaws out from the outside
in. It's relative.
It's going to be coldest in the center. And if you're cooking, putting all the heat on the outside, the center, by the time you get the center to your proper doneness, you're going to overcook the outside of the steak. So what you want to do is get that thing to room temperature through, so when you cook it, you get a more even cook and you don't have charred on the outside and raw on the inside.
What I've noticed is in rinsing all that salt off, and then patting it dry and putting whatever I'm going to put on it. I would not put any more salt on it, because what was incredible to me with last night's steaks were that I poured just a crazy amount of sea salt on them. I mean, I was really playing, but I got this stuff on sale. It was just sirloin.
The steak or the salt?
Yeah, both of them. It was just sirloin. So if I ruined them, I wasn't going to cry. I was going to eat them.
Yeah.
But what was incredible was how nice and crispy the outside was. But they were just absolutely, and of course, used the thermal pen, brought them right up to 135, 137. And my goodness, I'm definitely going to use this method afterwards. So that's heavily salt, stand for an hour, rinse, pat dry, coat with oil, coat with aromatics, grill, high temperature on each side, and then slow them down for the middle if they're thick. If they're not thick, it doesn't matter.
Right. Now, what's your favorite cut? I see we've got a note here. Is it strips or tees? And the tees, I incorporate that as a T-bone, which could be further forward on the animal, which is your porterhouse, or you get a little further back there, they're the T-bone. Personally, I prefer a bone in the steak rather than a cut that is boneless. For some reason, I don't really understand.
It's your dog.
It's that. But
I don't care for T-bones much because I'm not a big strip fan. And a T-bone has tenderloin and New York strip in it. Neither one are my favorite pieces. So I tend to not buy T-bones. Plus, it's got so much bone. It makes it harder to cook it uniformly. The ends always end up more well done than the center. I don't believe that bone during the cooking process has done any good for that steak whatsoever. I know that.
I don't know. They always say the meat's sweeter next to the bone.
And that meat was next to the bone for 2 years.
Right.
I don't think 8 minutes is going to have a big effect on it. All it does is it makes it harder for me to serve it.
Now I like it because I'll buy a big one, and if you got a guest over, you can give her the little filet side, and I can eat the strip side, and Gibby gets a bone.
And you can tell her you gave her half the steak.
It's a perfect
match. Well, that is, for your situation, that's the perfect deal because women tend to like the tenderloin anyway.
Right.
So that's a good call.
Speaking of which, how are we going to make her happy? With a filet? That might be it. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City, USA.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com. And find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. I hope you get out and fire up your grill or smoker or even your deep fryer and make it happen in your backyard. This show is all about beef. It's what's for dinner. And what I wanted to talk about was a little bit before we get into the beef, we're going to talk about a little GI barbecue. What you got going on there, Bob?
Well, everything's progressed wonderfully in the last couple of weeks. I think taking a spring break was a good idea because the logjam seemed to burst. First of all, we got approval from Fort Bragg, finally, to get one of our smokers to Fort Bragg. And
which is where, for those that don't know?
In North Carolina.
Okay.
It's out by... I've never been there. I'm going to be there, but I haven't been there yet.
Right.
So I think it's south of Raleigh about an hour, but I could be mistaken. Fort Bragg is huge, and it's home to all sorts of units, but big training, and they ship a lot of troops out of there for different deployments. But Fort Bragg, there's a unit there that is going to take one of these beautiful American Barbecue System smokers and a pallet full of American Stockyard barbecue sauce. And the Parker Pure Martin, Pure Mountain Charcoal. Why can I never say that? So we got some Fat Daddy rubs. We got all kinds of stuff going to them. So they are thrilled to death. There's a unit there that serves the single GIs. And because they're the loneliest. The married guys, you know, they're living in married housing. They got their wives and kids. Life's pretty good if they're not deployed. But the single guys living in the barracks, I can tell you from experience, it's lonely. No matter where you're at, in beautiful North Carolina, it's lonely because you're on a giant military installation. Everybody's wearing green or blue or brown. It's not
or some
like
combination.
Yeah, you're not at a resort. You know, you're driving Humvees, Jeeps, pickup trucks. It's what it is. But sometime you want to check out and you just want to be that fun kid that grew up in Michigan or California or Oregon or wherever you came from. So anyway, at these bases, they have something that's better opportunities for single soldiers. It's called the BOSS. And so it's just a way to help cheer these guys up. Maybe they're just back home from being deployed. Maybe they're going to get deployed. Maybe they're just tired of being a GI and lonely. But they get to get together, have fun. So this big, beautiful smoker is going to be right out there for all of them to use. And I'm going to go down there. Maybe you can go with me. It'd be great if we can get Van Andel and Flickamer or somebody to give us a pickup truck. We'll haul this thing down there with a skid of charcoal, teach them how to use it, deliver the sauce and spices, and put those boys into hog heaven. Let them eat all the pork they want because we know they didn't get any in Afghanistan.
That is the absolute truth. And now back home, we're still doing a little bit of fundraising for this as well because we're not quite over the top on our fundraising, and we've got some generous supporters that have given us some items that we're going to be putting in an auction and going to sell them, and 100% of those proceeds are going to the effort as well to make sure that we can do this on more than one base.
That's right. So, we need about $7,000 yet.
Right. And I think we've got just the item to do it. Talk about it a little bit,
yep.
Bob.
The good folks at the Chase Creek Smokehouse are going to let us use their facility. Heck, they're throwing the party. May 14th, during the Blessing of the Bikes in Chase, Michigan, which is right next to the Blessing in
Very
Baldwin.
Very appropriate place
and
time.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so nice of them to do this. So we're going to have an all-day party. It starts at noon. It goes from noon to 8. The dude's hiring bands. He's putting up tents. It's going to be a shindig. He expects a few thousand people there. So this is going to be, if you want to give, if you want to have fun with us and pitch in a couple bucks while you're there, or maybe buy a raffle ticket and win a Henry rifle, that'd be okay.
Yeah, and we got a couple of those to give away.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and we've also got a twin basket deep fryer from Timber Ridge, thanks to Garrett's. Village Motorsports has given us a bunch of motorcycle gear. Dude, this is turning out so cool. I'm bringing my tent, man. I'm telling you, I'm pitching a tent back in the woods behind the place that night. I'm not leaving.
Well, that'd probably be the smartest thing we could do is not leave, because we might sample a Michigan microbrew there at Chase Creek, because they got a little of that too. If you've not been up to this place, they've been big supporters of our Operation GI Barbecue from the beginning. But shoot, wherever you're listening from, 131 at the Reed City exit. If you're headed north on the west side of the state, or you come from the east side, but anyway, you get to that Reed City exit, go west about 3 miles, and you hit this little wide spot in the road called Chase, C-H-A-S-E, and there's a Chase Creek is right there.
I used to hang out in that little town when I was a kid, because I grew up about the same distance in the other direction on US 10. So that
wrong
was that was
tracks.
Like an area. Yeah,
yeah, you were
yeah,
the wrong
I was
side
east
of, tracks,
of 10,
guy.
And yeah. Chase was, there was a little Bluebird Cafe right behind where Chase Creek is now, and that was known because Ted Nugent used to like to drop in there. So we'd go to the Bluebird just because, and
so
it was
you could
usually
sit in the seat that Ted sat in a month ago.
Oh well, yeah, like cool. Sometimes you'd go in there and go, dude, Nugent was just here. It's like, great.
Yeah, you just missed him. Yeah, free beer tomorrow,
yeah.
Right?
No hot wings. So anyway, May 14th, put it on your calendar, noon to 8. Come up and have fun with us. Have some great barbecue. Have some beers. Buy some raffle tickets. There's Stormy Cromer hats are still available. There's going to be Henry rifles, Friars, Bonefish grill certificates, golf items from Bonefish. I mean, we're still collecting. If you've got something you want to donate, if you want to donate a quad or a side-by-side, I could use one. I'll bid on that.
Right.
Anything you want to donate, that would be great. So that's our final fundraiser, and we're shipping to Fort Bragg like 2 weeks after that. So it's finally happening.
You know what? That is going to be one fun man love time, and it's time for a little bit of man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Yeah, if you're a man, you got to see Vicky because she got some pasties. Dude, I stopped and got some pasties last week before Jordan's Olivet lacrosse game against Calvin.
Yeah?
They beat the crap out of Calvin, for one thing. Yay. And I had pasties for my boys when we were done. So that was great.
Ketchup gravy, it doesn't matter. If you go to Vicky's right. and get a pasty, you're going to enjoy it. And Saranac is a wide spot in the road. There's a couple of bars in that town. If you eat a pasty and then you want to go have a cold one, that'd be kind of fun, too.
Okay. Road trip. There you go. Sure. There's your bar tip for the day.
Right.
So today's man law is the minimum amount of time you have to wait for another man is 5 minutes. The maximum is 6 minutes. I never knew that. For a girl, you're required to wait 10 minutes for every point of hotness she scores on the classic 1 to 10.
That's why I sat in those driveways all that long. I get it. I
my
guess
hotness
I get
scale
it.
Is so high.
Right. Yeah, those were the only ones that I went and picked up, right? Yeah, it's my dream. You're just in it. Right. Barbecue Bob, we're going to have a little bit of fun at the Chase Smokehouse
on May the
14th. We really hope that all of you can come up there and join us. It's a simple little drive, only about 80 miles right up 131
from West
Michigan.
As Rob Russell would say, it's an hour.
Right. It's just an hour. You put her on cruise, you get up there, and we're going to have fun, and we're gonna put this Operation GI Barbecue over the top.
You know, you could make it a pub crawl. You could stop at the Rockford Brewing on the way up and then the Cedar Springs Brewing. And there's a new Red Tail Brewing in Reed City. By the time you get to us, you'll be perfect.
Yep, just as long as somebody else is driving. So get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, smoker. Mother Nature is shining on us. We're in the 70s this weekend, and what a perfect time to get out and fire up your grill.